Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Just another day, I'm here where I belong. Any other place, any other way, I'd sing a different song. You wouldn't sing along, would you? Would you? Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds.
A self-described late bloomer, musically folk rock singer, songwriter, Ben Taylor didn't start singing until his early 20s. The hesitation is understandable given the daunting example of success set by his parents, James Taylor and Carly Simon. But Ben Taylor has fully bloomed. Thank you very much. And we'll be showing off his talents this Friday, April 18th at Helsinki Hudson. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Ben Taylor back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I always enjoy speaking to you.
Oh, man, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time and welcoming me back in spite of whatever I may have said, no matter how deviant or offensive last time.
Yeah, I think you're pretty good. I think we decided to give it a pass with the earlier times and, you know, have you back. You're on the road. Are you a musician that considers themselves to be on the road all the time, or is it very cyclical for you?
Cyclical is exactly the right word. I do consider myself somebody who tours about as much as I can, as much as my immune system and my body will handle. Which turns out to be a couple of hundred days a year playing or traveling for playing. So, and that's, I think when people say I'm on the road all the time, that's what they mean. I don't think that people can really do many more upward of a couple hundred shows a year without falling apart.
And that is a lot. I mean, that is the third of the year. That's still a lot of time.
Yeah, it really, really is. And when you consider the fact that you can't really root yourself in such a way as you play every night of those 200 nights. So those 200 nights, maybe they take up 250 days. So I guess you would say that I tour all the time, and I know musicians who tour less than me that say that they're on the road all the time.
So when you're doing this and you are out and about it, and say for the length of time that you are, does that help with the creative process? The songwriter part of your job, does that help?
Really, really good question. It just depends on what the circumstances are. It depends on how much privacy I have, because I need to, in order to get things done, I need to be able to sit by myself with a pad and a pen for at least 30 uninterrupted minutes. And a lot of tours, you don't get a whole lot of that. So when I find that my privacy is infringed upon, then that compromises my creative process. However, if I can be on the road with circumstances which will allow me to be creative, then I can be more prolific when I'm on the road, because I'm usually more inspired.
I always find that to be a fascinating process. There are artists who talk about how they can be on a plane, they can be in a coffee shop, they can be sitting in a shopping mall and be able to have some sort of artistic output, while others need that silence, almost that get smart sort of cone of silence.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I can be by myself around people too. I just need to not be interrupted.
Are you always looking to create, in the sense of, is it always in your mind that you have to create something, that you want to create new music, you want to create new songs, you want to create new patterns?
Want to, yes. Have to, no. I'm an extremely disciplined individual, but I try to keep my discipline away from my music, because I feel like it doesn't do good things for it. So I've never been the kind of guy who sits down and says, okay, got to write songs. I would say that my creative drive comes more from an overall philosophical belief that the whole point of human condition is that you get an opportunity to be creative. So, I feel lucky to have the tools to be able to express myself, and I do as often as I'm called upon to by the music that I make. What I mean by that is that I generally speaking, I wait until a song is just tearing its way out of a tree or a friend or a sign or a city or something somewhere I arrive. And then I hold it with a very loose grasp until the song writes itself through me, sort of uses me to write itself. And then when it's finished with me, it just sticks me out and we're both happy.
That seems like a beautiful moment, though. When that's happening, that sort of is the height of the artistic process, isn't it?
I would have to agree, and I have to say that when I on this particular tour, I've been writing like a madman. I think I've written more on this tour than I've ever written in my life, just in terms of time, you know, with Saigon.
Do you have a sense of where you are? Does it have to do with maturity? Does it have to do with where you are in your life that you're writing in a very militant fashion, or do you think that you're just answering the call?
I'm just answering the call. I don't make efforts to put myself spiritually and socially and emotionally to make me inspired, but I seem to have a knack for it.
So with that said, what kind of music are you creating now? Is it different?
My music is always different.
When you look at that, what is the aging process in the sense of when a song is created and you look at it and that you know that it's ready to share, it's ready to go on stage, it's ready to be recorded?
I don't. I try to control myself from being impulsive about recording things before they're ready. And that's just a matter of thinking to myself, okay, you just wrote this song. Give yourself a year with it on the road to hear it, vicariously through the ears of some of your listeners before you actually feel like you can sign off and record this. When you record something and release it, you sort of bronze it for posterity, whether you like it or not. And then it doesn't change anymore. A lot of the songs that I've gone into the studio and recorded, you know, right when I wrote or the day after I wrote them, I had to kick myself for it later in life because I realized they hadn't finished writing themselves yet and there were words that needed changing or there were notes that needed changing.
So you do need to age them a little bit to be comfortable to know where they're going.
It's best if you road test them. That's the thing, because you're so involved and you're so subjective about the whole thing when you're writing a song that your ears sort of check out. You can't really properly hear it yourself, and then you bring it to your friends and your family and your musicians and your editors, and they all have opinions and expert critical advice. But really, until you get it on a stage full of strangers who come to and paid to come and see you play, you don't hear it for the first time. You got to wait until you can hear it with the people who've come to listen to you.
That the process of creating and then sharing it with an audience, and as you said, sharing it even with friends and those in the industry, if you will, is it? But it's still very, very personal. So how personal do you take it when it is shared?
How personal do I take it when it is shared? Pretty personal. I mean, it's hard not to. It's a creation. It's like a baby. If somebody offers you too much critical advice about your baby, you start to say, "Hey, easy on my baby." I know it's not the best looking baby I've ever seen, but it's a baby. It's got time.
and you want that. And then, having seen you on stage, it seems that when you're out there, you are ultimately having a great time.
Yeah, on the nights when I fail to be able to find the fun in performing and in doing my thing for people, it's my failure. It's seldom the failure of anybody but me.
Well, and I assume that becomes rarer and rarer, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does. That's one of the things that definitely gets more intuitive about this process is finding the part of it that's fun.
Well, Ben Taylor will be at Helsinki Hudson on Friday night, April 18th at 9 o'clock. And you
I forgot that this was for Helsinki. That makes me excited. I love that place.
It's a great venue, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, really is. I used to play at those guys' venues when at that venue when it used to be in Great Barrington. And then they moved to Hudson a few years back, and last year was my first chance to play at the new venue. But what a beautiful place.
Well, it's Helsinki, Hudson, Friday, April 18th, 9 o'clock, and you can find out more information by going to HelsinkiHudson.com. Ben Taylor, great to have you aboard. Thanks very much, and good to have you in town.
Pleasure's all mine, and thanks again and again.
Thanks very much. Again, Ben Taylor at Helsinki, Hudson, Friday night at 9 o'clock. You can find out more by going to HelsinkiHudson.com. Or go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
So long to wait. I'm always holding you, however far you go away. You leave, I stay.